the Haynesboro and school board work with a local preschool to relocate its program, and a singer-songwriter stops in the Upper Lynn Canal this weekend during her Alaska tour. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly and School Board decided Tuesday night to move forward with exploring the possibility of locating Chilkat Valley Preschool on the Haynes School property. The Assembly and School Board addressed several issues in their annual joint meeting, but the discussion of preschool education took up the bulk of the three-hour-long meeting. The Assembly recently extended the lease of the preschool in the borough-owned Human Resources Building until June 30, 2015. After that, the Assembly made it clear they want the preschool out of the building so the borough can sell or dispose of it. The preschool, meanwhile, has been coming up with alternatives. The Board of Directors doesn't want to buy the building because they say the maintenance would be too expensive. Instead, they are exploring the idea of a module building that can be customized to the needs of the preschool and could be affordable to maintain. But they need a place to locate the building, and their preference is on the Haynes School campus. At Tuesday's meeting, preschool office manager Renee Hoffman said this would get families and preschoolers involved and used to the school at an earlier age and provide a similar level of borough support it has had over the last several decades. But some on the school board and assembly were not supportive of moving in that direction. School board member Brenda Josephson started out the discussion, saying she was concerned with the use of public funds in the form of public land use for a private nonprofit preschool. She pointed out there is currently legislation in front of state lawmakers addressing that question, but right now it's a complicated situation that she's not wholly comfortable with. Assemblymember George Campbell agreed. He also said he would prefer the borough to go about the land use in a different way. If the borough has public land available for use for early education programs, then the borough should offer it up to any entity that wants to be able to provide that service. The borough should decide what organization gets to use it based on proposals. Borough and school district attorneys weighed in on the question of public fund expenditures for a private school. Both had hesitations, but also said it was likely justifiable. Mayor Stephanie Scott summed it up this way.
People have known that I've been very sensitive to the public expenditure of public funds for a private school, but I've been told that that rule has to do with the benefit, that it is perfectly moral, let's say, to spend public funds on an activity delivered by a non-public entity that has a huge community benefit. So I think that's what we need to evaluate in our minds and hearts, is what is the benefit to the community at large of a preschool.
Assemblymember Deborah Schnabel noted the community has been supportive of the Chilkat Valley Preschool since it began in 1973. She said that was a testament to the preschool and a signal that the community does want the program to continue. The preschool is not the only early education program in Haynes. Head Start is a public preschool program, but has restrictions and limits on what children it can accept. And there are private daycares and programs like Parents as Teachers available to most parents. School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri said it is ultimately up to the borough whether to grant the preschool the use of school property. She suggested borough and school facility staff work on details with the preschool to see if the idea will work. If so, she said she'd also like to revisit the arrangement every 2 to 3 years. An amendment was added to have technical and building details brought back to the Assembly and School Board by August 1st, along with a proposed memorandum of understanding for how the arrangement would be managed. The motion to have borough and school staff proceed with hammering out details passed the joint session, with Campbell and Josephson opposed. The other in-depth discussion at the meeting involved maintenance projects at the school. The group approved a resolution to request the legislature fund capital improvement projects, although funding from the state or Department of Education looks bleak this year for school capital projects. So the group also unanimously approved moving ahead with applying to put bonds on this year's ballot to fund projects. If the bonding process moves forward, there could be up to 5 separate bond questions on the October ballot for different projects, including roof repairs, mechanical upgrades to the vocational ed building, high school locker room repairs, and others. The board and assembly also heard from school superintendent Michael Beyer about the Mosquito Lake school issue. The board will soon decide whether to keep the school open despite declining enrollment. That decision could come next Tuesday during the school board regular meeting, when the board will hear from a task force about its findings. The task force researched how much interest remains in the Mosquito Lake School. If the board elects to close the school, the borough will then have to decide what to do with the building. Folk singer-songwriter Ruth Moody is performing across Southeast this week. She starts in Petersburg Thursday evening as part of her Alaska tour, and she'll be traveling to other Southeast towns, including Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. Angela Denning has more.
Ruth Moody is known for her clear soprano vocals and skill at multiple instruments, including the banjo.
There's a world full of trouble and woe. There's a world full of trouble.
This song, Trouble and Woe, is the opening track off her second album, which she is featuring on her current tour. The album, These Wilder Things, follows her debut, Garden, released in 2010.
There's a world full of sadness and tears. There's a world full of sadness and tears. They fill us full of sadness, full of fear. I'm gonna sing it.
While her solo career is just starting to take shape, the Winnipeg-raised musician could be best known for her part in the award-winning trio, the Waylon Jennies.
I hear a bird chirping up in the sky. I'd like to be free like that, spread my wings so high.
Birdsong is off the group's 2012 album, Bright Morning Stars. The album earned them a Juno Award, which is like a Canadian Grammy. Their 2005 album, 40 Days, also won a Juno.
Slowly changing time. I'd like to be there when that swirl and shape the sky. I smell the flowers blooming better for spring.
Moody says work with the Waylon Jennies has always been a collaborative effort, but the nature of the approach to her two solo albums has been different.
With the Jennies, you know, I contribute a third of the material, whereas for my solo records, it's you know, 10 or 12 of my songs. So it's maybe a little bit more intense that way, because there's you're doing more work. I'm playing all of Jenny's songs, but I take a bit of a back seat on some of those songs where maybe I'm just singing harmonies, or I'm just playing a little backup guitar part, or you know, the pressure's not on for every single one of those songs to sort of lead the ship. One is not better than the other of those situations. But it is different. It's a different sort of mental space that you get into, I think.
On her solo album, Moody strikes out and covers a Bruce Springsteen song, Dancing in the Dark.
I get up in the evening, and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby.
I was planning on covering something of his. I'm a big fan. And I was looking at, you know, some of my favorite songs of his, and some of the more sort of pared-down, rootsy stuff, like Nebraska is one of my favorite records. And then my friend said, you know what would be really cool is to folkify one of the hits. And I thought that was a great idea.
Living in a dump like this, there's something happening somewhere.
Moody often writes about personal experiences in her songs. However, she says nature and landscape is her number one inspiration. She was born in Australia, but says it's the grasslands of Canada that opens her up creatively.
I go to this little cabin that my parents have in southern Manitoba, and that's usually where I get the majority of my writing done. And for some reason, it's just a really beautiful, peaceful place with a river running through it. And that's when I can sort of get in touch with what's going on when I'm away from phones and internet, and, you know, just when it's just me and nature and I'm alone.
Moody will spend about a week in Southeast Alaska before heading on to shows in Canada. This world is full of trouble. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Ruth Moody and her band perform in Haines on Saturday at the Chilkat Center starting at 7:30, and in Skagway on Sunday at the Skagway AB Hall starting at 7 p.m. Tickets for both events are available at the door. Alaska Department of Fish and Game is opposed to a Haines Heliskiing Company's proposal to open more areas to skiing this season for a special event and to draw more skiers here in a low snow winter. The department, in a letter to the Haynesboro this week, says it is concerned for mountain goat populations in those areas. We'll have more on this story on our Thursday evening newscast. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Angela Denning for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.